We are reaching out to you as we call your name. Let your spirit fall on us. Let it fall like rain. Pour out your love. Pour out your grace. Pour out your spirit. Lord, we seek your face. Forgive our sinful nature and heal our broken lives. Come and change our hearts. This is what we pray. Renew our minds. Revive our hearts. Reside inside. Wash us with your blood. Pour out your love. Pour out your grace. Pour out your spirit, Lord. We your face. Forgive our sinful nature and heal our broken lives. Come and change our hearts. This is what we pray. Renew our minds. Revive our hearts. Reside inside. Wash us with your blood. And I call your name. Let your spirit fall on me. This is what I pray. Power has no end. Things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. You've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Power has no end. Things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall that you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You ready one. Oh Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains at the ground. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Oh, come awaken your people, come awaken the city. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Oh, come awaken your people. Oh, come awaken the city. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains around. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. What you can do, God of wonders, power has no end. Things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison walls you can break through. no mountain you can move, all things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save, all things are possible. Darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves at 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. as your foes till you left off me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves in 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. There's no shadow you won't light a mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light a mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. No, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. Join me this morning and all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great. Jesus, precious Lord, send your Holy Spirit. Jesus, precious Lord, send your Holy Spirit, and we praise your name. Lord, we come before you now and we engage in your word. Lord, we read from your text and we long to hear from you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be pierced and ready and willing to receive what you have to say to each and every one of us, Lord. Father, your word does not come back void. It does not go out empty. Lord, your word is powerful and strong. And I pray that that power would be evident this morning for each of us personally, that you would speak to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been reading through some conversations in Scripture. Conversations that Jesus had with various people during his earthly ministry. We've encountered a couple of different people so far. We've talked about a well-known religious Pharisee. We've talked about a despised neighbor of the Jews, an anonymous Samaritan. And even though there was
great differences between these individuals personally, religiously, pretty much every way you can imagine. After meeting with Jesus and spending some time talking with him, they were both changed drastically. They went from being adversaries of Christ to being allies of Christ. Their lives were completely altered. Today, we're going to continue on, and we're going to encounter a group of people in the scripture that we're going to read here shortly. But within that group, there are two specific individuals that stand out. Two more individuals whose lives were indeed changed forever because they encountered Jesus. Again, these are two very different people that were spoken to in this text that we're going to read here shortly. One of them is, again, a named leader, and the other one, an anonymous individual who, if you read Scripture, you'll understand that this person is destitute and despised and an outcast. Both of them approach Jesus for very different reasons personally, but they receive from Christ far more than they ever expected to receive during their conversation with him. Before we continue on and we get into our text this morning, I throw this out there. I just pose this question because I do this when I'm going through Scripture. Do you ever stop to think about these conversations that are recorded in Scripture for us? You know, we read the text, and if we go too fast, you know, we pass by some things. And we pull out the miracles, and we get excited about these great accounts and the amazing acts that took place. And rightfully so. We absolutely should be excited about those things. But do we ever stop to think about the fact that these were simple, one-on-one, personal conversations with Christ? That's all they were. You know, we learned about Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee who just wanted to know a little bit more about who Jesus was. Who was this man doing these miracles? What was he all about? And then we talked about a woman at the well who, after hearing Jesus speak for a few minutes, just wanted from him the living water that he offered. But they were all started with simple, short conversations that individuals were having with Jesus. I mean, through those conversations, each of them, and we'll see even today, they met the King of Kings. Their conversation went far beyond anything they could have ever imagined themselves. Each of them came with their own specific agendas, but they left being touched in a way far greater than they could have ever imagined. That's something to think about when we think about our time in prayer. Because that's what prayer is. It's a conversation with our Savior. It's a conversation with Jesus. That's what prayer truly is in its simplest form. It's talking with the King of Kings. And anything can happen in a conversation with Christ. I'm going to give you just a teeny tiny bit of background before we jump into to today's text, which, by the way, will be in Mark. So if you want to flip open to Mark or scroll to Mark, whatever you do in terms of your reading, that's where we'll be at this morning. The background I'm going to give you here is just, it's a very simple understanding that Jesus is about to encounter this big group of people. And he encounters them right after he leaves another group of people. And it's that group of people that he leaves because they rejected him. That's why he went away from them. That, again, makes us, or should make us, stop and wonder, what does it mean to reject Jesus? What does it mean to walk away from him? What does it mean to say, I'm not going to listen to Christ? That's a conversation for another day. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21. Again, another long read this morning, but bear with me. Follow along. I read from the 84 print version of NIV. If you're following along with a new NIV, it could be slightly different. Starting at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed all around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered, "and yet you can ask who touched my clothes?" Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. Trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all the commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. There's a whole lot of stuff for anyone to digest in this text this morning. A whole lot of stuff. A crowd had surrounded Jesus. Again, we're going to primarily focus in on the two individuals that Jesus was talking with. But before we do that, let's just touch base on this crowd real quick. A whole large crowd gathered around Jesus. In fact, the words large crowd are repeated twice in the first four verses of that text that we read this morning. Now we know from our previous study of Scripture, we know that when something is repeated in Scripture, there's a reason it's repeated. There's an emphasis, there's a point, there's a meaning to that repetition in that Scripture that we need to look at. It does not define for us what a large crowd is, but I'm guessing this was not 10 or 20 people. In fact, I would be hard-pressed to think that this was even 100 or 200 people. When I read large crowd and I see it emphasized the way it was in this text, it would lead me to believe that this is more like the feeding of the 4,000 or 5,000. Now, there's nothing in text that gives us that number. That is purely just an observation. But the odds are that this was a very large crowd of people. That's why the text was repeated. That's why those words were stressed. It was more than just what we would think of as a huddle or a group of people. There was a great large number of people surrounding Jesus, and yet he was able to have a personal one-on-one conversation with two particular individuals. Even with all those people around them, he stopped to meet the needs and to talk to two. The person that bookends this section of Scripture for us is Jairus. Now, Scripture tells us he was a synagogue ruler. Understand, this is different than a Pharisee. A synagogue ruler is more of an administrator or a supervisor within the synagogue. They were not the lofty, well-known leaders of the time, like the Pharisees were. In fact, today, if we were to try to think about what a synagogue ruler was, the best way we could come up with this today is a lay person, a lay leader, someone who's got a role in ministry but not an official title, if you will. What's interesting here is when we read through the text that we read through this morning, nowhere in that particular text does it talk about the synagogue ruler taking his need to the Pharisees or the leaders of the time. It talks about him going to see Jesus. He heard where Jesus was. He went off to see Jesus on behalf of his daughter. And somehow, even though there was this large man who can make that decision, Jesus turns to him and says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." I love to visualize text. Can you almost see it here? Jesus is talking, dealing with the woman, as we'll find out shortly, and he turns almost, you can just visualize him putting his hand on Jairus' shoulder, comforting him, encouraging him, sharing with him, speaking to him, and telling him, "Don't worry. Don't listen to what the world is telling you. Listen to me." Jairus has to make a decision. Does he let the words about his daughter sink in? Does he allow the conversation of the world to take priority in his life? Does he let those words ring through his head? Or does he listen to Jesus? Decision time. He has to believe that his daughter is well. He has to believe that his daughter is not dead. Now, he chose to make a very wise decision that day. And understand, this appears to be a very brief conversation between Jesus and Jairus. Yet the decision that he made was an incredible one. incredibly wise as it led to the physical healing of his daughter. And not only did it lead to her physical healing, it led to the witnessing of an unforgettable miracle that lives on today, years and years and years later. And even though it doesn't specifically spell it out in Scripture, it appears that it led to the healing of this entire family. Again, Scripture doesn't give that detail, but it tells us that Jairus had faith. Faith that led him to Jesus. Faith that started that conversation off. Faith which would lead to his life being forever changed. It's incredibly likely that Jairus listened to Jesus much differently from that moment on. Let's turn our attention this morning to that second conversation that took place. And we know from reading our text, this is all about the woman who came after Jesus in regards to healing. Right away we noticed we had someone here who had hoped to slip in, touch Jesus, and then slip out before anyone could even notice her. To be honest, that's what my early Christian life was like. I came in the doors of the church at the very last hour. I sat in the back row and I left as the benediction was being offered. In and out. Just a quick touch and I'll move on. I'm gone. That's not what God had in store. That's not what God had in mind. That's not what He had planned for her or all the witnesses that were around her. In order to understand this a little bit more, we need to think about this woman's desperate desire to be healed. What she had been through, where she was at, what was going on in her life. So there's two things we need to look at quickly regarding her. First of all, she had tried to do a lot of stuff on her own. She went to every doctor she could think of, every person she could imagine. She spent whatever monies she had, maybe bartered if that was the case. She did whatever she could and put her hope in man's ability to heal her. Man's wisdom, man's understanding. Verse 26 of our text says it pretty clearly. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She had placed her hope in the world, and the world had failed her. Not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, socially. Because not only was she sick, she was an outcast as well. And that's the second thing we need to understand this morning. Because of her illness, she was considered by Old Testament law to be unclean. We have to understand what that meant. Oh, okay, she was dirty. No, she was unclean, which means she could not be a part of anything. No religious celebrations, no ceremonies, no feasts, no worship gatherings. She could not be a part of any of that. In addition to that, according to the Levitical law in Leviticus 15, anything or anyone that she would touch would also be considered ceremonially unclean. This was a huge, huge issue. And no one wanted to be with her. No one wanted to be around her. They did not want her uncleanliness coming off on them. She was a complete and total social outcast. I understand being alone is hard. I understand COVID has made isolation rough. But if you think COVID has been rough, this woman had it much worse. No one would communicate with her. She was cut off from everything and everyone. She was not welcome anywhere. Which probably brings a whole lot more clarity to us as to why she wanted to slip in and slip out undetected. She had been suffering with this condition for 12 years. She didn't want anyone else to know that she was even around. She just wanted to be better. But slipping in and slipping out was not God's plan. It was not what Jesus, the Son of the living God, had in store for this woman. He was not going to allow her to just sneak away after touching his clothes. And I got to tell you, don't think for one second that Jesus didn't know who it was that touched him. This is the Son of God we're talking about. He knew full well from the moment it happened, before it happened, that this was the woman that touched his clothes. But you know what he was doing here? He wanted to have a conversation with her, so he wanted to control that conversation and steer it from the natural to the spiritual. Sound familiar? We've seen that in the other conversations that Jesus has had with people. We would take something that people were dealing with on the natural, normal level, and he would make it spiritual and apply it to them in a new way. By asking who it was, by saying, "Who touched me?" he was making this woman respond to him and giving her the opportunity to confess. To confess what she was doing, to publicly declare her intention. What was she seeking after? Now, as we've already discussed, this woman took a huge, huge risk even being in the crowd that day and making her way to Jesus. So when Jesus called her out of the crowd, he was putting her on the spot. And don't think about that as a bad thing. It was a good thing. It was time to show everybody what was actually happening in this woman's life. He was going to talk to her not just about her physical need, but her real need of healing. And believe it or not, he did that in one simple sentence. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is one of those verses that really gets lost in translation. We miss out on a huge part of the conversation that Jesus is having with this woman when it's translated into our English text today. Let me give you a little bit more understanding about that one verse and what it says. In the Greek, the word that is translated here as healed, as we think, making whole, healed, it's the word sozo. S-O-Z-O, sozo. Sozo means not only to heal, it can also be translated, the same word can be translated as to save, to rescue, to preserve. In addition to that, there's the phrase in the same sentence that says to be freed from. In the Greek, that little phrase, that little part of the sentence, comes from the word oida. O-I-D-A, oida. That means to understand something through observation or to know that you know. So in one simple sentence, during Jesus' conversation with the woman, he's telling her something a little bit more like this, if you'll allow me to paraphrase this morning. because of your faith, you can know beyond understanding that you are preserved, that you are made whole, and that you are saved from all of your suffering. One simple verse healed not only from physical suffering, but spiritual suffering as well. She was made clean, clean in the eyes of man, and clean in the eyes of God, spiritually speaking. All because of her confession, her faith, her willingness to stand up, to talk to Jesus. Also notice something else from that verse that we read. Notice how Jesus addresses her here. He says, "Daughter." He is speaking to her as a father would speak to their child, with love and comfort, with peace in his words. Notice it was also the same relationship that Jairus had. He came on behalf of his daughter. So you might say in this particular text, Jesus not only healed or saved Jairus' daughter that day, but he also healed and saved his own daughter that day. We read one little short sentence in Scripture, but that sentence carries an unbelievable amount of weight with it if we don't read it carefully. We will miss it. We will miss that life-altering conversation that takes place even in one or two simple sentences. Let's do one more thing this morning. I'm going to ask you to speculate for a minute. And I know that's a horrible thing to talk about when we're talking about Scripture. We don't like to make guesswork or anything else, but I'm going to ask you to speculate for just a moment this morning. What do you think would have happened if neither one of them would have pursued a conversation with Christ? Well, what would their lives have been like? We probably would never, ever have known about them. There would have been nothing to write or record or any miracles for us to understand had they not pursued a conversation with Christ. Certainly their lives would have been drastically different than what they turned out to be. A simple conversation with Christ brought about a complete change in their lives. Totally altered who they were, the direction they were going, how they thought, what they saw, how they received things. Let that settle in your heart for a moment this morning. One short, simple, honest conversation altered their lives forever. Jesus is all about personal conversations with people. He may have taught the masses, but he saved and healed and freed the individuals. These two came seeking Jesus' attention on one matter. They came expecting to talk to him about one thing or deal with one individual circumstance in their life. But by the end of their conversation, they had been changed forever. Never, never underestimate what a conversation with Jesus will lead to. Father God, I pray that we are never, ever ashamed of spending time with you. God, I pray that we are never scared, that we never run away thinking, doesn't matter, who cares, what. God, would you help us to know how important just one simple conversation with you can be? Lord, I pray God, as we come to you, as we seek you, as we put our hope and our trust in you, God, I pray that you would reveal to us everything that you have for us, everything that you want for us. Lord, that our conversation would go beyond, way beyond whatever intent we have when we first sat down with you, and that you would just, Lord, pour out so much. Show us so much. Teach us so much. God, as I often have, I pray that we would not just read your word, but study it, know it, understand it, dig into the text that's there and what it's really saying to us, so that like this we can apply so many different things to our lives. Lord, help us. Help us to be the tools, the instruments that you choose to use. And help us, God, to every day sit down and have a conversation with the King of Kings. Speak to us, Lord. Show us your desire for our lives. Teach us what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Earthquake before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas are shaken and stirred, can't be calmed and broken from my God. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let